Right before I walked up here, I found some news, a different way that God is building his church. So Edgar Rios, who just came here as a kid, his mom and dad, the whole family got saved at one of our outreaches, something similar to a back to school blast. They got saved here. He was just a teenager. Maybe it's been longer than that. And he's been a servant in the Lord's house. He's a man of God. The Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing and receives a favor from the Lord. So he's gotten a big favor. He and Stacy, another daughter. Come on, where are they? Where are you? Stand up, stand up. Let's go. They just got engaged. Woo! Amen. Just got engaged. Let me tell you something. Jesus builds his church in more ways than one. And we should come to the Lord's house. We should serve together. We should fall in love in the Lord's house. We should raise our children in the Lord's house. How many would say amen? That is the beautiful, wonderful picture. And in a lot of ways, Edgar and Stacy, for today's message, this is part four of the Rebuke the Devil series. This message is perfect. I almost dedicate this to you guys, especially to you, Edgar, because you have to think as the head of the house in these terms. Today's message is so vitally important. Once again, it is very information rich. I try not to give so much information. A lot of times when I prepare messages, we're cutting like 50, 60% out. But the way the Lord downloaded this series to me was that you would have a framework of understanding that you can like really kind of view the spiritual realm, especially the attacks of the enemy on your life, on our culture, on our children, on our families, that we would have a holistic perspective that would be balanced and biblical. And so pay attention. And today's topic is different in the sense that so far, rebuking the devil is resisting and rejecting Satan's evil presence and suggestions. Okay, so the enemy comes at you, he fires fiery darts, you walk into places, and he's trying to influence you. He can't make you do things that are wrong, but he can influence you to do things that are wrong. And when you get those suggestions, you need to resist and reject. What does it mean to rebuke the devil? It means to resist and reject in the authority of the name of Jesus and the word of God. I resist you, I reject you, not in my strength, but in the strength of Jesus Christ, who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How many know we serve the King in this place? Anybody here serve King Jesus? Put your hands together with me. Come on, let's exalt King Jesus for a moment. Hallelujah. Very important, very spiritual, very black and white. You want no part of the devil or his schemes, anything to do with him. You want no part of that. How many would say amen to that? So we've been focusing on kind of, he comes at us, we reject him. This message is a little bit different because this message is about a step of faith, an act of faith that actually activates the rebuking power of God. Okay? So this was this kind of different. And believe it or not, this one comes through our working and worshiping. Everybody say work and worship. I want you to recognize that God uses your work and your worship to rebuke the power of the enemy. And so this is a different angle at this, but it is biblical. And I pray that you would really open up your mind and open up your heart to understand this facet of the spirit realm. So I want you to lift your hands with me right now. When we lift our hands, it's a sign of worship. It's also a sign of dependence. Like, I depend upon you. I trust you. I worship you. I honor you. If they could lift their hands for Jay-Z and Beyonce and all of these people, how many know we should be lifting and shouting? Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless you. We worship you. You're the real King. You're the real Lord. Let our King be lifted up, we pray. God, we ask your blessing upon this word. We ask your blessing upon our lives, Lord. Lord, we're one church in two cities. Bless Philadelphia Tabernacle. Bless our online family. Bless people who are tuning in right now in their house, in their car, in their office. Let your presence go to them and open up. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say. Bless this word. Bless our time. In the mighty name of Jesus, give us faith, I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Come on, let's clap to Jesus one more time. Hallelujah. Work and worship are very, very important to every Christian's life. Now, what I want to do is I want to give you some important verses, actually, about work. You'll see how this connects in a moment. Gets track with me, but work is very important to God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 says this, whoever refuses to work is not allowed to eat. Come on, somebody say, oh snap. To God, lazy people, okay? Lazy people do not reflect His character, His nature. When we're lazy, we're not acting like our Heavenly Father. You understand? Whoever refuses to work is not allowed to eat. Listen to what Tim Keller said. He said, the fact that God put work in paradise is startling to us because we so often think of work as a necessary evil or even punishment. Before there was any sin, before there was any fallen anything on the planet, God gave Adam a job. Even before God gave Adam a family, he gave him a job. Okay? Work is a good thing. And so it says, work is as much a basic human need as food, beauty, rest, friendship, prayer, and sexuality. It is not simply medicine, but food for our soul. Without meaningful work, we sense significant inner loss and emptiness. Come on, everybody say work and worship. Very, very important part of your life. Now, I want to give you even some more verses. I know this is a lot. Take these down. Go to the app. Go over this again. And by the way, this is one of those messages. Your children are never too young for this type of message. Okay? So look at these verses very, very quickly here. Proverbs 22, 29. The Bible says, do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. In other words, God wants you and I to be very skillful at what we do. He doesn't want us just to show up for work and be mediocre. He wants us to be great at work. And listen, when you're great at work, when you work at it, when you practice, when you prepare, when you get highly skilled, there's a blessing that is released into your life. Skillful, consistent, punctual, hardworking people always get promotions. You understand? And the Bible speaks to this, and God wants to use your work as a testimony. When you work well, it gives you a voice. Work is a reflection of integrity. Work is a reflection of being made in the image of God. When you work well, people think about you and they look at you, and that's your opportunity to say, I belong to Jesus. How many want to testify through our work? Somebody say amen. It reflects trustworthiness. It reflects values that are respectable and admirable and good. So these are very, very important principles that God wants us to work hard. Now, there's a flip side to this. Watch this. Proverbs 18 says, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They, two words, ready? Imagine it. They imagine it, a wall too high to scale. So it's interesting because God wants you to work hard. God wants to bless you. God wants to promote you. God wants to provide through your labor. He wants to put his hand in his favor on that. But there's a flip side, and we have to remember the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it a wall too high to scale. Some people, the more money they get, the stronger, more powerful they are in their minds. Okay? You can build houses. You can build compounds. You can build walls of protection. But how protected are you? You see? How protected are you? How many know we need divine protection? Anybody here understand? There's a limit. Don't think that your money is your protection. Your money can't protect you. Open your eyes and look at the people in the world with all the money. Your money can't protect you, but we do have a protector. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. So work hard, but don't think that somehow the money that you make makes you powerful or strong, because you're just like everybody else. You're just blessed. And it's good to be blessed. Come on. Psalm 20 verse, here's the way you balance that. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Come on. Come on, let's worship him for a second. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your goodness and your protection. Hallelujah. Work and worship, there's a balance, and I hope that you worship when God blesses your work. You see? That's why don't be one of those people who comes 15 minutes late to the worship service. Uh-oh. Isn't it right to give thanks and praise for the blessing on our work this week? Isn't it right to glorify him for how good he's been to us? Right? Do you know when I worked in the homeless ministry in New York when I started, do you know how many times I met a homeless kind of doctor or a homeless lawyer? Just because you have an education, that doesn't mean you're protected. We need the blessing of God upon our lives. Somebody say amen to that. Our trust is in the name of the Lord our God. That's the way we see life. That's the way Edgar sees life. As for me and my house, Edgar's going to say, as for me and my house, we're going to trust the Lord. That's what we're about. That's the way we're going to live. So these are very, very important framing biblical principles. To be a Christian is to be a hard-working guy, to show up on time, to put in the extra mile, as opposed to wanting to get over on the system. We work hard. We don't need a handout. Somebody say amen. I love that. That is the ethic of the child of God. Now, how does this relate to rebuking the devil? So let's go back to this. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and everyone destroy. So far we've talked about how he wants to steal your purpose with temptations. He wants to kill our relationships. Anything that's life-giving, he wants to sap the life. But today we're going to talk about what he wants to destroy. He is a destroyer. Okay, Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. But watch this. Revelation 9:11 says, they had as a king over them the angel of the abyss. right? Whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon and in Greek is Apollyon, that is destroyer. Apollyon is a destroyer. He wants to destroy. Now, in John 10:10, that word is a same origin as Apollyon. It's Apollyon or me, and it's to put out of the way entirely, to abolish. Okay, to abolish what? Abolish whatever God gives you and provides for you. He wants to abolish it. He wants to put an end to your career. He wants to put an end to your means of resource, of getting resources for your family, right? He wants to ruin your car, your home, your life. He wants to ruin everything. Here's what you need to know about the enemy of your soul. Satan is the Lord of destruction, lack, and loss. Jesus came to give us the abundant life. He came to bless us. He came to prosper us. Anyone who says that if you're a Christian, you have to take a vow of poverty, you don't read the Bible very well. That's a lie. You understand? Now, some people, because of the call of God, they have to go someplace and they have to sacrifice, and there are seasons of that. But let me tell you something. If you are a child of God and you're walking in the call of God, the blessing of God will follow you. The blessing of God, He can bless you any place, anywhere. Hallelujah. God is able to bless you. He can do exceedingly and abundantly, more than we could ever ask or think or imagine. How many would say amen to that? But He is the Lord. He is the Lord of destruction. He loves lack. He loves loss. And so the title of today's message is Rebuke the Devil, Part 4. This is an attack on your provision. This is an attack on your provision. And many people don't see this. You just see it as happenstance. But you know what? I want you to look again. Look again with your life. Look again with spiritual eyes. Because sometimes, because we are not being sensitive to honor God, we're not activating. Everybody say activate. We're not activating the rebuking power of God. What's different about this message is that when it comes to your resources and when it comes to our provision, it seems that we're not necessarily resisting and rejecting Him. It seems like we need God to look over our crops and our fields, and He said, I will rebuke the devourer. You see, I will rebuke the destroyer. So just very quickly, remember, the enemy does have a destructive capacity. When I drive through Philly, my wife and I, we live in, let's call it a transitional neighborhood is where we stay when we go to Philadelphia. It's transitional. The last time we were there, it was like 8 o'clock at night, and there were like 3 cop cars, and like there was a whole mess on the block, you know. And when I drive through the neighborhood, I grew up in a neighborhood like that, so when I drive through there, I see the impact of the works of the devil. Okay? The devil telling young men, listen closely, I gotta get through this, but the devil telling young men, right? Don't work, steal. Don't work, take. Get over. Like there was a phrase when I was growing up, get over. Right? Get over. When you get over, you're getting over on the man. You ain't getting over on anybody. Okay? If you don't work, you won't eat. You won't eat very well. It won't go well for you. And you see the effects. Wake up and smoke weed and do whatever you want and be lazy and let the system give you a paycheck. All of that is a lie. You understand? And listen, God is not in that. God is not in that. God is in us working and worshiping. Now I'm gonna take you to the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 3, because you're gonna see how we can activate the rebuking power of God. Malachi chapter 3, beginning with verse 8, is as follows. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. This is God speaking. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions or offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. By the way, today's message is for you and for all of us together. Okay? It's for you and for all of us together. It says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. The Bible says, don't test the Lord except right here. This is the only place in the Bible where God says, put me to the test, okay? And says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is, everyone, three words, no more need. This is the promise of God. This is the promise that you want to activate in your life. Okay, instead of doing it in your own strength, you want to use your strength to glorify God, but you want the strength of God and the blessing of God and the favor of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Look at the promise. I will rebuke the devourer, the destroyer. I will rebuke the destroyer, the devourer for you. So we rebuke him, but there's a place that we can activate the rebuking power of God. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. And your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. God wants your house to be a land of delight. He wants to bless your crops. He wants to bless the fruit, bless you with fruitfulness. You need to understand that God wants to make you fruitful, but you have to rebuke the devourer. Now, the devourer, in a sense, means a pest. Okay, look at look at this illustration. This is in Philly. So you see these bugs? These bugs are all over Philadelphia right now. Can I tell you something? I can't stand these bugs. They are like, I'm sorry if you're one of those nature folks, but can't stand them. So look, spotted lanternflies cause damage to plants by sucking sap with the waste product of their diet, encouraging fungal disease. A 2019 study by the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture estimates that uncontrolled, this insect could cost the state $324 million annually and more than 2,800 jobs. Okay? So imagine nations that don't honor God and they have a lack of water falling from heaven. They have a lack of food growing out of the ground. Okay, think about that. You know why America is so blessed? It's because in the beginning, there was a lot of honoring of God. Lots of faults, lots of failures, but there was a lot of honoring of God. And so what the Bible's saying here is that there is a promise that we activate when we work and when we worship. And here's the key, okay? When we give, the way the Bible just says, it releases the expulsive power of God over our lives and communities. Now, expulsive is an old word, and maybe I'm gonna pause right now and say, okay, take a breath. Everybody go, I didn't hear you. I know I've said a lot, but I need you to concentrate even more. Okay? I know I said a lot, but this is very, very important. I'm building an argument, right? So here's the argument. Expulsive is a word that we don't use anymore. Okay, it used to be used more in like the 1600s and 1700s, but it's the perfect word. Here's what it means. It's the act of elimination, displacement, or banishment. You're out, okay? The act of removing what's troublesome. So what God is saying is, if you honor me with your giving, then I will remove what's troublesome. I will banish the enemy when he tries to come onto your fields. I will rebuke the pest. I will rebuke the devourer. Let me give you a classic example of this principle. I think I saw this movie back in the day. I don't know. Maybe I saw it on a plane, but there was a, I forget the name of the movie right now. It's just, Lean on Me, thank you. So this article came out in Time Magazine in the 80s, I believe, and it was about a principal who took over a really, really bad school. Listen to this. This was in Paterson, New Jersey. Clark took over a declining high school that was going to be closed unless 75% of its students could pass the state-mandated exam. Clark's first move as a principal involved expelling over 300 students who were drug dealers and gang members. Now, people were in an uproar, but here's what happened. When he got out what was troublesome, okay, when he got out what was troublesome, all of a sudden the school started to experience prosperity. The kids started to learn and they started to meet their standards. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, this is a very important spiritual principle for your whole life. Please pay attention. You need trouble things out of your life. Even your career. Okay? And God says, I will expel, I will rebuke the devourer. If you believe me, if you trust me in this area, I will rebuke the devourer. I will tell him, hands off of the blessing of God upon my child. How many want that kind of blessing and protection? It's a move that you need, okay? It's a move that you need. Now, what's powerful about the church is that, yes, we want great schools, and then we want to win the drug dealers and the gangbangers too. This message speaks to that in a moment. You'll see how this goes after all of it collectively and together. So all of this happens by what the Bible says is tithing. Everybody say tithing. Now, if you say, yeah, but tithing is in the Old Testament, I want you to know that Jesus validated tithing, and I want to explain what tithing is very quickly. We have a special guest. It is a Michelin star chef who's come to grace us with his presence, Pastor Tim Arthur. Come on, let's put our hands together. And so he's going to work on something right now while I'm breaking this down to you. Okay, let me just read this for a moment. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you give a tenth, which is a tithe. Tithe is a tenth. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. Back in the day, when they tithe off of even their herbs. So you know you get that little herb thing from Jewel or whatever? They took a tenth of their herbs and gave it to God. They were very, very careful about this. He said, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Now, when he was speaking to the Pharisees, he was saying, don't be a hypocrite and tithe and say, because I give, that lets me be ungodly in the other areas. What this is highlighting is that there are different facets of your walk with God. There's the financial facet, the tithe, and then there's the heart facets, the mercy, the relational things, the faithfulness, the justice. So when you honor God, it's holistic. And what we brought out here is we brought out a basic bag of groceries. So imagine getting groceries, right? Everybody here, you want groceries, Aldi's, Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's has some good snacks, right? But let's not get distracted, right? Trader Joe's, wherever it is that you go, Mariano's, you know, and like, what do you see when you see Mariano's? You know, because I remember very, very quickly here, I remember when my cousin came from Cuba, spent three nights on the water, snuck out, rowing, right? You take one of those Cubans, I watched this with my own eyes, I remember him going into the supermarket, seeing him bawling, crying. I remember the first time I took him to a restaurant, he's 19 years old, and they put a plate of food in front of him, and he couldn't eat, he was just bawling. He had never seen a plate of food like that. See, we don't recognize how blessed we are as a nation, okay? In God, we really do trust. Or we really should trust. We don't trust anymore. But how many would say, as for me and my house, we're going to trust God? How many want to say, we're going to trust God? And here's what it means. How do you see that bag of groceries? How do you see the car? How do you see the things that you have? Because if we went back, we're going back 2,000-3,000 years to connect it to today, right? So they were an agricultural culture, right? And so when they tithe, it wasn't like we go to push pay and send from our paycheck. This is what they did. They got the potatoes and they got the apples and platanos and they got the platanos. You understand? They got all of this different food, and here's what they would do. They would chop it up because it had to last the whole week or the whole month, however you reap. If you get paid twice a week, twice a month, or once a week, when you get that, what do you think about? What do you see? Because what you should see is the provision of God. And what you should be thinking about is the promise of God. Edgar, the promise of God over your family. That's the way it ought to be. It doesn't matter how the world looks at it. We look at it differently. How many know? We say, our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Anybody feel that way in this place? So there's all of this chopping and cutting, and you're thinking, I want to tithe. Now, what is a tithe? A tithe is your first and your best. I don't have time to go through all of this in the Bible, but the tithe was meant this. You get the shopping bag first, and you don't say, I'm going to do whatever I gotta do and then give God the last. That's not faith. Faith is giving God the leftovers. How many know we don't serve a leftover God? How many would say amen? You honor God. Faith says, God, I got this. I give this to you first. Okay? So I honor you first. So faith, a tithe is not a tithe unless it's first. Some people say, well, I'm going to tithe if I have 10% left over. That's not faith. That's pragmatic. You're not allowing the rebuking, the multiplying power of God to be released in your life when you give him after. It's before. Then remember, it's 10%. Even though the Bible says that Christians only give across the board, across the nation, Christians only give 2.5% of their income. That's the average. By the way, that's why the church is not a greater force in the community. One of the reasons we don't have a greater voice with schools, one of the reasons we don't have a greater voice in all of the social issues is because we don't put our money where our mouth is. But see, back in the day, the temple had so much capacity to provide because everyone gave 10% and God would multiply that 10% that when the church spoke up, everybody had to listen because of the clout, the power of the collective. This is for you, but this is for us. You understand? If we paint the school close by, and if we buy the computers for the kids, or if we did something special with clothing and food, if we built, if we bought and built a food center because we had the money, I'm telling you, they have to sit up and listen, and that is God's will for our community, the kingdom of God here. Go ahead and push it out and clap. Get it out of there. You can do it. Okay, Jesus. Oh, that clapping hurts. You made it through. It's true. Lastly, so the tithe is first and best. The tithe is 10%. The tithe is to the storehouse. That's what he says. Some people say, well, I give however I want to give. That's okay, you can do that. It's up to you, but the only thing is, you forfeit the rebuking power of God. You see? Because you're saying this is mine, not this is the Lord. But God says, no, that's mine. Actually, you're robbing from me. You're not honoring me. But if you honor me, watch what I'll do for you. If you work and worship, and if your work is worship, and if you reap and you worship from what you reap, I'm telling you right now, you're going to be blown away by how God opens doors over your life. Anybody here tithe and have experienced the blessing of God? Could I see your hands? Come on. Can we praise God for how he's blessed us? It's amazing. So look, this is so cool. So I don't know if you can see this well, right? But all of this, you get your bag of groceries, all of this. By the way, we have Oreos here. And let me tell you why we've got Oreos here. Because I envision men and women having this talk with their children. You want to give your kids powerful advice? Teach them to tithe. As soon as they get any blessing, teach them to give God 10%. So watch this. So think about this. So you got 20 Oreos. Say to your kids, these 2 Oreos belong to the Lord. Okay? Now, first and best means, okay, don't give God the cracked Oreo. Give him the best Oreos. If you give him the best Oreos, you'll have less cracked Oreos. Less crumbs on the bed. I mean, it's just incredible, the impact of this, right? But what we need to understand is, look, this is every week for us, or however it goes. This is every week. Please teach your children this. You know, when I first became a Christian, I had a friend whose dad left him. He's one of the first Christians I met at Brooklyn Tabernacle. And his dad left him when he was young. It was he lived in a bad neighborhood. He and his mom slugging it out. Now, like, he was about 24 years old, 25 years old. And I was learning so much from so many believers. And I remember, like, he had the best shoes. He had a great job. This guy was blessed. And I remember saying to him, how could you be so blessed? Okay, and he said, well, what happened was, is we started going to this church when I was a little kid, and the lead pastor kind of took me under his wing, and one of the first lessons he taught me was about tithing. And so I started to do this since I was a little boy. And one of the things that stunned me was he was about 25, 26 years old. I can't remember exactly. His mother got into a jam, like a real serious issue. And guess what he did? He wrote her a check for $50,000. And I was like, dude, did you knock over a bank? Like, where did you get $50,000? He says, I've been saving money and honoring the Lord with biblical principles since I was like 10 or 12 years old. So you know what? It was, to use the neighbor, it was nothing phasing. He said, I just had it. I did it for my mom. See, we underestimate the power of God to bless us. But watch this. So we get to keep all of this. God gets this, okay? Now, I brought a couple pieces of steak here, okay? I don't know what cut this is, all right? But this is a big deal, and I'm gonna tell you why this is a big deal, is because in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice animals. So you don't see the butcher butchering the meat that you eat, but they would sacrifice animals, and to sacrifice an animal, to say, I'm gonna give God, I've got 10 cows, I'm gonna give God one cow, and they would sacrifice it. I've got 10 goats, I'm gonna give God one goat, and they would sacrifice that to the Lord. And it would bless the storehouse so that the storehouse could fulfill the kingdom purposes that God had for that particular storehouse. You realize God has a plan for this house. You contribute to the fulfillment of the execution of that plan. Could somebody say amen? When we tithe, that's what happens. And here's the thing that God is saying. And I'm going to cut meat because I don't know what cut of meat this is. But can I tell you something? Like, I didn't know what a ribeye steak was till I was like 27 years old. You know? So, you know, we would scream and shout. If we had steak like this, we would scream and shout. Like, this was so good. You guys go to Costco and you see these fat steaks, or like filet mignon. What is filet mignon? Right? Like, there are all of these cuts. I think Chrissy's family introduced me to like nice cuts of steak. I had no idea. Okay? God, no matter where you come from, though, if you honor God from wherever you are on this planet, God will honor you, bless you, and protect you. How many believe God is watching and God is able by his mighty power? Watch this, okay? Send me a keyboard player, please. Thank you so much. Thank you. Pastor Tim is like, you got to clean those. All right, so listen. Here's what God says. I bless you, right? Remember, if it grows out of the ground, if God doesn't send the rain, it's not growing. Don't think there's no rain just because you work at a computer. There's rain on your job, on your work. If you're a lawyer, there's rain on your lawyering. There's rain on whatever it is that you do, rain on your teaching. You understand? So it grows out of the ground. You and I get to keep this. God takes this, and here's what he says. If you will faithfully declare in your house, to your kids, in your spirit, in your mind, I trust God enough to give him first and best, no cracked Oreos. I give it to him first. I give him 10%. All of these potatoes, like I wish you could see all these potatoes compared to these potatoes. Got some apples mixed in, but you get it, right? All of these plátanos versus these plátanos. Here's what God says. Here's the promise. He's saying, I will take this and make it more than if it was all together. And then what I'll do is I'll give you the capacity to give more so that my house is even stronger. Everybody say even stronger. So we want CT and PT to be even stronger. How many know we've got more plans for the Becoming Center? We've got more ways that we want to reach out. We've got buildings that we want to build so that kids will walk around and say, you know what, that's God's house, but that's my house too. It's where I study. It's where I do lessons. My mom and dad are learning English as a second language. How does all of this happen? It happens right here. You get to keep this much rice, you give God this much rice, and then here's the thing, God says, I will give you more, you will give more, and collectively there's this incredible blessing. My prayer is that the next time the next time you pull the meat out of the bag, you say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And as soon as you get your paycheck, the first thing you would do is say, I'm gonna pause, even if it's push pay. This is why I do it. Push pay. Before I do, I go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. How many believe he's able to rebuke the devourer? Hallelujah. So a lot of people, they don't realize that because they don't honor God, you're giving the enemy a doorway in. So two quick takeaways and we're gonna close, all right? Number one, giving rebukes the devourer over us. Everybody say, that's me. And when you're giving to God, you're saying, God, you're my refuge. You're the one I trust in. Psalm 91, 1 through 3 says this. Look what Psalm 91 says. It says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest. Everybody say, rest. Will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. Instead of my wealth is my refuge and my fortress, God is my refuge and my fortress. I'm thankful for the way that God has blessed me, but I don't put my trust in riches. I look higher. My trust is in the Lord. I don't trust in my cars. I don't trust in my retirement. I trust in the great God that I serve. Hallelujah. It says, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. The plagues come, but not on your house, because God says, I will rebuke the devourer. So it's a benefit to us. It's one of the ways, and look, it doesn't mean that nothing wrong will happen in your life. No, it doesn't mean that. Sometimes, we'll talk about this at another sermon, but sometimes God will allow you through it. There are tests and trials that God uses. It doesn't mean you get a perfect life, but I'm gonna tell you right now, when you honor God with your giving, you get a blessed life. Anybody here wants a blessed life? Come on, if you want a blessed life, here it is. Almost done, okay? Lastly, giving rebukes the devourer through us. Giving rebukes the devourer through us. We have to understand that if everyone gave, the power, the capacity to make an impact from this house would be extraordinary and exceptional. If everyone does their part. Now, God doesn't tell you to. There's no comparison. By the way, I probably should have said this earlier. I've never, since I've been a pastor, I don't look at the tithing records. I don't know who gives what. That's between you and God. Okay? There's no police here checking your tithe, because I can't follow you around all week to see, you know, if you're doing other naughty stuff. So I have no clue. That's between you and God. This is for you and God. This is for you and your family. You understand? So, however, if everyone did their part, we can see the power of God flow through us to impact so many places. I got a couple quotes for you, and then we'll close with this. Listen to this. This is so powerful, okay? This is by a guy who wrote a book called Gospel Patrons. It means people who back the gospel. There are many good things that need to be done in our world. Many good causes that need support, but proclaiming the gospel is exclusive to the people of God. No one else will do it, and no one else will fund it. We are responsible to push forward the gospel. How many want to see the gospel go forth in power? And let me tell you something, if you invest in eternity, you will be rewarded in eternity. So, if you invest in eternity, the Bible says, store up your treasures in heaven. When you stand before God, there are angel accountants. Okay? They got the band, they got the little thing. Everything that you do for God, they remember. And one day, we can't see it now, but one day we will see the great impact and we will hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. How many want to hear that spoken over your life? Hallelujah, Jesus. So look, just one more, and then I want us to, we'll pray together. Listen to this. This is a guy named Tom Conway of the Generous Giving Advisory Council. This is powerful. He says, I get great satisfaction by investing in God's kingdom. That's how you know you're growing in God. When you're not like holding on to your money and you're just thinking about surviving, when you start thinking about the kingdom of God, you're really growing in God and you're starting to trust God, right? Says, that's where I will live forever, and that's, and I want to help as many people as possible get there. I've made other financial investments, some good, others not so good, but you can never make a mistake investing with God. To be able to share our resources in such a way that they produce eternal dividends for the kingdom is pure joy. The joy comes from participating with God in the building of his kingdom, knowing that it will last forever. So I'll close with this. I think about let's go back to Edgar. We put on KWA. KWA was 7 weeks of a spiritual Disney World we used to do here. And can't even tell you how much money it cost us to put on. But we were like, the kids in this neighborhood, many of them may never go to Disney World. You take your kids to Disney World, you're really blessed. I had the blessing of being able to do that, right? But there are kids who, they won't go to Disney World. Right? But so we said, we're going to bring a spiritual Disney World to them. So we did that. And so somebody invites Edgar's sister. She comes, she brings the whole family. The whole family gets saved. The whole family gets baptized. Right? All of these things happen. He's a man of God. He's got a fiance. She's a godly woman. They're going to have children. The children of the righteous will be mighty in the land. How many believe those kids are going to be used by God until Jesus comes back? Hallelujah. This is real. It's true. It's powerful. And this is a side of faith. That when you give to God the way God says, remember, it's first and best, it's 10%. Okay, what was the third one? And it's to the storehouse. Okay, you do that. Stand still and watch the multiplication and the protection of God over your life.